This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast. We're starting a brand new franchise. We're starting off with the Sam Raimi Spider-Man. This is episode 177. We're hitting up Spider-Man from 2002. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and my co-host is...
A very grateful Nate from Natefix Reviews.
Yes.
We're done with Roger Moore. I'm glad we're done, to be honest.
I totally agree with you. We got rid of...
I promise you... By the time we get to the Tom Holland Spider-Man, I'm going to be tired of watching Spider-Man movies. So it's going to happen again. These long seven, eight movie franchises.
Yeah.
They really get old when you start getting to the end of them.
Hey, you never know, right? Well, comic books is kind of different, right? But that's anyway, true. With that said, Nate, how long has it been since you've seen Spider-Man from 2002?
You know what? When I was watching it today, it made me realize it's been a long time. I don't know how long it's been. I got these on 4K, never watched them. I have not seen the first Spider-Man in at least, I'm going to go with 8 to 10 years. It's got to be. Like, this movie came out 20 years ago, and I watched it a bunch when I was in like a teenager, but I haven't seen it in a long time.
Yeah, I did the rewatch when the New Way Home, whatever, came out. Yeah. I watched them all. So I said, all right,
I remember.
Cool.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, I watched them all. So it was pretty interesting rewatching those. But it's pretty cool because I'm rewatching them again. So now I can do it in a review format, not enjoying format. So it's kind of different when you sit down and enjoy. And then when you're reviewing, you get very critical on this stuff. Yeah. So we really don't know each other's score on this. For those of you that are new to listening to us or watching us on the YouTube, me and Nate do not know our scores. We're going to go right into our Rotten Tomato scores and see what the critics and audience have to say about Spider-Man from 2002.
Yeah, so this is interesting. I was pretty surprised by these scores. Well, one of them. So the critic score is 90%. So that was not that surprising. That's not the surprising one. I said, okay, 90. It is, you know, it was very popular when it came out. It was the first, you know, this came out after X-Men 1. But it was really the first, I think, comic book movie in a long time, Marvel-wise, because there was already some Batman movies that really kind of nailed the Marvel, like, comic books. So, not surprised. Now, here's where I'm surprised. The audience score for this movie is 67%. I thought it would be much higher.
To be honest,
when I clicked on it, I said, this is a typo. Let me Google it again. And I did it, and it was still 67. So I always thought this had more love. 67 is not bad, but I thought it would have more love. I mean, I'm sure you would agree.
No, I totally agree. I mean, it's very weird because, well, you know what? At that time, the soundtrack was the selling point. Remember that? When there's a hero to save us. It's not what to do, but to do. Yep. But I will say this quick. I mean, we don't do Rotten Tomatoes. I mean, we don't do box office numbers, but I'm just going to read them off really quick. Worldwide, it made $825 million. So there's no way people went back to see it multiple times. This was a success. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So I'm like, 67? What?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, but very interesting. But anyway, with that said, we're going to throw out all those Rotten Tomatoes scores. We're going to throw out all those box office scores. Now we're actually going to get right into the actual movie review. Nate, let's start it off with Peter Parker himself.
So I hope I don't offend anybody here.
Uh-oh.
Rewatching this, I think Toby... So we're scoring the lead character. You guys already know the drill. We're not necessarily scoring the actor.
Yes.
But if the actor does a good job, we'll say, you know, good job. I think Toby Maguire did a good job as Peter Parker in this movie, as written. I don't think he's a great Spider-Man. I never did, even when I was younger. He's not quippy enough. You know, he doesn't seem like a high schooler ever. Not one single moment in this whole movie. But he just doesn't have the jokes. He doesn't have the humor when he's in the costume. So I've never loved his Spider-Man as much as people my age seem to, like people who kind of grew up with this one. I do like him as Peter Parker. Now, in the movie, I think that's one of my issues with the lead is that I don't love Spider-Man in this movie. I think he's good. I think he looks great. You know, the costume looks great. Again, I do like Peter Parker. I like him as Peter Parker. Although I feel like there should have been more stuff at the high school. I don't think they utilize the high schoolness of Peter Parker enough. You know, like he gets in the fight with Flash in the lunchroom and they go on a field trip. That's all the school stuff you get pretty much, you know, and then he graduates. like at the end of the before the end of the movie. So I thought it was a weird choice, to be honest, for a comic book character who's always been in high school to already get him out of high school before the first movie's over. Don't love it. I do like his relationship with Aunt May and, of course, Uncle Ben. This version is the one with the most famous line. I'm not even going to say it. You guys all know it. But I did like the dynamic. I did like that he felt guilty afterward. I like him. I'm going to give him a 4. I don't think that this is like the greatest version of Spider-Man on film for me. So a 4, though. He is good. Could have been better, though. I just... rewatching it, some weird choices. I don't know why they took him, like, I don't know why they took him out of high school. Don't know why he doesn't say any jokes really when he's Spider-Man. It's kind of weird, but whatever. He's still good. 4.
You know, it's funny because honestly, I'm not going to hurt Toby on this one because honestly, it's not his fault. Those are the script writers. That's a different department in that. So I give him a 5. I think he was really good. And I remember, I'm not a big Spider-Man fan. Like, I want people to understand, I'm a huge Batman fan when it comes to the films. But I think Spider-Man is really good.
Yeah.
But I think they got better once Tom took over, to be honest with you. Because they felt like a kid.
I agree.
But anyway, we'll talk about that when we hit Tom's
movies.
We'll talk
about it later, but I
agree. Personally, I just think Tom embodied both Peter and Spider. But, again, that's all script writing. But in terms of this one, I think he did, though. Only time is when he fought Macho Man, he started snapping on him when he was in the costume. And I was like, okay, this is kind of fun. No, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, that's the, and I think he does with Green Goblin. I don't remember when, though. He does snap at it. I think when they fought each other first time in Times Square, when they saw each other, he kicks him off the scooter or whatever before he sees Mary Jane, which we'll talk about in a second. But anyway, in terms of Toby, you're right. I think he looked way older than Peter Parker should be, and especially in high school. I do understand why they picked him. He does have that boyish look. He does look comic booky. For those of you that read the comics or whatever, they have this comic book issue that came out around the same time that movie came out. I believe it's called Ultimate Spider-Man. It looked exactly like Tobey Maguire and everything. So, and that was a good series. I'm not going to lie. It was a really good series. It was a modern version and reboot of the Spider-Man story. But in terms of the movie, I thought he was really good. I thought James Franco as his best friend, which we know later down the road who's going to become, I thought he was really good. I thought, what's her name? Mary Jane, which is played by, what's her name?
Kirsten Dunst.
My only nitpick was Kirsten Dunst. I know Mary Jane in the comics is like super hot. She's a model looking redhead. I never was attracted to that type of Mary Jane, to be really honest with you. I thought Emma Stone, but she's not Mary Jane. She was Gwen Stacy in that universe. But yeah, I thought they could have got a little hot chick for Mary Jane, but it is what it is. I thought she was good, though. She's a great actress. I'm not taking nothing away
from
her.
She's a good actress.
Yeah, great actress, but when you read the comics, Mary Jane is just smoking hot. You're like, oh man, how can this
girl... I kind of like it better, though, because... Freaking Peter Parker's such a dork. If she's too hot, it's like, okay, like, relax. What is this? Why is she even talking to this dork? You know, and not that Tobey Maguire's ugly, but you know what I mean? I feel physically they're a pretty good match. Physically.
No. In the movie, yes. They had great chemistry, and I think they dated whatever, their personal life. I think they did. But in terms of everything, I think Toby hit it out the park with the first movie. I think he did. You didn't like him as much, but I do understand where you're coming from. I do understand.
I didn't like Spider-Man.
I understand.
I liked Peter Parker.
It's the same when we go through the Batmans. Some have a good Bruce Wayne, and some is not good as Batman. So it's going to be fun when we go down that avenue also. But anyway, let's get to the good one. Main villain, William Dafoe as the Green Goblin.
Listen, man, we don't even got to say nothing about this because this is a 5. He is a 5. He is fantastic. He, one thing, well, I won't get ahead of myself. He's great in this movie. First of all, Willem Dafoe is a terrific actor, number one. So performance-wise, it's, you know, you're getting a top-notch acting performance. Number two, I love the costume design for Green Goblin in this. I remember it's a little Power Rangers-y, you know, it looks plasticky.
Yeah.
But in a sense, it does translate. It's about as good as you can translate. Because in the comics, he has like, he's like a green man. He looks like, you know, and his face is, you can't really do that. It's not easy to do, I should say. So I like this costume. I love the board. The CGI is kind of funny. That's one area where we were talking about off air, the 4K. It shows some of the CGI work 20 years old looks kind of, especially anytime there's smoke coming out of that thing, it looks horrible. But other than that, it's not, you know, it's the age. I'm not going to mark anything off, but Willem Dafoe is great. I love the thing with the mirror when he's like talking to himself and like one of them is crazy and one of them is normal. Great scene. He finds out who Peter Parker is. He freaking blows up Aunt May's room. He goes right for Mary. Like, this is a great villain who goes right after the hero and makes him make some really tough choices. He has forced him to kill him, his best friend's dad. Like, there's a lot going on with the villain, and I loved it. So, 5 out of 5 for me.
Look, dude, you said everything, man. Willem Dafoe was a 5. There was no way I could score him lower than a 5. He was so good, right? Like, even when they kicked his ass off the board, and he was like, I built this company. And I was like, holy hell. Like, yeah. And it's cool because you saw the Green Goblin coming out. And that's the cool part about that trait. Like, he's such a good dynamic actor that when he plays both roles, it totally looks like different people there, you know? Yeah. Especially, like you said, the mirror scene. Now, he's talking to himself, and he's like, who goes there? He's mad wimpy, and all of a sudden, he's like, you know?
So
and I was like, yo, this is actually good. And he's walking towards the mirror, and you see him just playing both parts at the same time. It must have been multiple takes to get that out in one scene. And I thought it was really good seeing that he's with, he goes to the turkey and
oh, the Thanksgiving?
He goes, let me tell you, just like your mother. Do what you do with them and get rid of them. And I was like, damn, that was good. Again, like, I love the Times Square scene with the Green Goblin. It reminded me of the Wicked Witch of the West when he hit up right? Because if you notice, when he starts to turn over the building, it kind of looked like the Wicked Witch of the West because you hear the laugh and and he throws the pumpkin bombs all over the place.
I love the way he says Spider-Man too. Spider-Man! It's like very exaggerated. It's very comic booky.
And very cartoon. He's like, you know, he was like, I'll get you, Spider-Man! And I'm like, he had a great voice as actually, to be out of all the villains, I think he nailed it with the speech pattern that you see of a comic book character. Yeah, I gave him a 5. You gave him a 4. Action scenes.
No, I gave him a 5, too.
I'm sorry, I gave him a 5. Yes.
Yeah, double 5. Wouldn't you think, too, by the way, he would have made a good Joker at some point, especially then, at that age?
Yeah, I think he could have.
Nailed it. He's too old now. I can't see him fighting, but then I could have been good. Anyway, action. You know what? Really, again, I can't give this a 5, personally. I think the first 40 minutes, there's nothing. There's like, he wrestles Macho Man. That's like the extent of and he fights Flash Thompson in the cafeteria. But are we really going to say that that is worthy of a 5? No, it's short. Are we going to say the wrestling match is worthy of 5? No, it's short. After that, he does some, some little odd job Spider-Man things, which are cool. But again, nothing earth shattering. The first big set piece is the Times Square set piece, and it's really good. It is really good. Don't get me wrong. I like it. And then you have, of course, later, there's some more fighting between. Most of it's just him and Green Goblin going back and forth a little bit. But even in the Times Square scene, if you remember when they're down and they're like fighting hand to hand, this was, so there's CGI at the time, but they went like just guy in suit versus suit. And it's kind of slow. You'd feel like it would be like a cooler, faster fight, especially if it was made modern day. And he like throws one punch and he catches it and then he gets kicked. And he goes flying across 30 tables. So maybe the limitations of, and maybe Raimi, you know, he's not known for action movies per se. I mean, he had done a little bit of action stuff before this, like Darkman and Quick and the Dead, but they're not like all out big, you know, action films. So the action is good. I gave it a 4. I do think it is quenches your thirst without being, it's not exceptional. I have to save my 5s for exceptional action. And this is good action for a comic book. I actually think this series has better act. Like, the Tobey movies have better action after this movie. So I give this one a 4.
And you know, it's funny. This movie, I gave the action sequence a 4.5. I thought it was really good. I do understand what you mean. But I mean, the first half, it was just developing him getting bit by the spider. But
yeah,
I do enjoy this. And it holds up, though. I mean, I know we talked about the special effects and all that. And at the time, it's not what it is now. But I thought the practicals kind of worked also. It did. It looked very well done. Like, him taking photos, and it looked like him hanging and doing all this stuff. And I was like, one thing Sam Raimi does very well, he knows the character very well. And I don't know about you, maybe you agree with me or not, but I could see Sam Raimi helming a Superman movie, and it feels like a Richard Donner version. Because this is what this felt like, a Richard Donner version of Spider-Man. It looked great. It was very colorful. Like that New York looked very colorful. It wasn't dark. And it looked like a comic. Like it was raining. Mm-hmm. It looked like a raining scene. Spider-Man doing his stuff looked very great at the time, you know, 2002. And I thought the fighting was good. Yeah, and I thought the fighting was good. I thought the ending was awesome when he has to choose, you know, what would it be, your girlfriend or a bunch of kids? Yeah. I was like, this is actually really good. The Green Goblin scenes were really good. Times Square was actually, again, it felt like a comic book movie. And I'm not going to go too crazy because it reminded me so much of like Smallville. Like it's not that much of a budget, but you got what you got. And I enjoyed it. And I thought it worked very well. So I gave it a 4.5. I thought it worked. For this type of movie. And there was a lot of practical effects of the blowing up, the buildings collapsing. So I gave it a plus.
Off the thing in Times Square, it's like a rig. It's real. It's not CGI. So yeah, I agree.
All right, here we go. Let's go with storyline.
Okay, so this is an origin story. Again, this is one of those scenarios, like when I had in my head what I thought I was going to score this, and then when I actually watched it, it was slightly different. I think it's good. It's an origin. Again, I've never, and this is not just this, in this case, this is not just for this rewatch. Even when I've seen it before, I never loved the first act and a half of this movie. I love the third act of this movie. I think that it's really, really, it ends really strong. I do always find myself feeling like this movie's 2 hours, but it feels way longer because the beginning part, there's a lot of buildup. I get it. You're introducing, but this is one of those characters that I think people kind of know. You don't have to spend as much time. And even then, like, even still, like, you don't get a lot. Again, you don't get anything at high school, really. Like, it'd be one thing if you were setting up his dynamic with Harry and Mary Jane more, but you don't. Like, you don't get a lot of that. So I don't know. I don't love the first 45 minutes. After that, I think the movie picks up. I think it's a good origin story. No, gets bit by the spider. I hate that they changed the webs to come out of his skin. I think it was a weird choice. Doesn't even have any holes when they show his arms. It just magically shoots out of him. It's kind of bizarre. I'm not a fan of it. I've never liked it. I'm like, okay. He has web shooters. Also, it takes any tension away because if he just manufactures it from his body, he's never going to run out. Whereas if he has web shooters and he runs out, it's like, oh, shoot, what is he going to do? So it takes some of the tension away. I don't love that. But I do like the story. I think overall it's good. Great villain. I give it a 4. It's strong. It's a good start. Yeah, I've never loved the first almost hour of the movie. Like the first half it's not that exciting. And the second half's really good. So, but I'm still going to give it a 4.
Yeah, when it comes to story, I gave it a 4.5. I thought it was good origin. Better than most origins out there in terms of
accurate.
Yeah, pretty accurate to the comics. And I thought it was really cool. I mean, I know the whole thing, what you mean about Uncle Ben dying and, you know, the same as Batman's parents getting killed but the difference is that we didn't have multiple Spider-Man movies. Whereas Batman, we have like 20 different renditions before the time Spider-Man came out. You know what I mean? You had the Keatons, you had the other ones, and they keep giving you the same damn parents going down the hallway. And you're like, oh, damn it, here we go again. Well, at least with Spider-Man, I do agree with you. I kind of enjoyed they show Uncle Ben because this is the first him on screen for a long, I mean, I think this is the first time in a long since the 80s or 70s version of the film. So for me, I think it worked very well for the storyline. Yep. The Green Goblin was a perfect choice for this movie. I was happy that it was not a twofer in terms of two villains in one. I liked the conflict between him and Harry. Harry was a dick. He went out with Mary Jane, didn't say nothing. So I kind of like all of that. I was like, you know, this kind of worked very well. And I like that he found out that Peter Parker was Spider-Man. I mean, I agree with you in a lot of stuff, but I think the storyline fit very well. I think Sam Raimi and the crew did a very good job in terms of the storyline here and bringing it to life. So I gave it a 4.5. What's your overall?
Okay, so overall, I gave it a 4. It's honestly always been an 8 out of 10 for me. Like you said at the top when we started, I am not a diehard Spider-Man fan. I don't even know if he ranks in like my top 5, maybe like my 5th as far as Marvel characters are concerned. Growing up, I mean, Hulk is my favorite. I've always loved the X-Men a lot more than I've loved Spider-Man. And even as I got older, like I've always found Thor to be a more interesting character. I don't just mean MCU. I just mean in general, like, you know, their backstories and everything. So I'm not a diehard Spider-Man fan. That said, I think this movie's good. I think Raimi got a lot of his Raimi-isms in there. There's a lot of little weird scare, you know, like jump scare parts almost. When he blows up Aunt May's wall, there's another scene where there's like a almost like a random screaming kind of moment, and which is cool. If you love Sam Raimi, this movie, while feeling like a big comic book movie, still feels like a Sam Raimi movie.
Right.
So I think he walked the line very well. But I've just never, it's never been my favorite Spider-Man movie. It's still not my favorite Spider-Man movie. It's good. I give it a 4 out of 5.
Yeah, look, this movie, I give it a 4.5. I think it was a great movie. Overall, it's a great origin. It's a great movie. I can understand why people love Tobey Maguire as their Spider-Man compared to the other ones. Especially, it's like the whole debate with the Bonds. What generation you're in, you're going to like that actor over the others. I'm okay with it. I am fine with it. Sam Raimi, I think he's an excellent director for superheroes. He knows how to put you in the movie. Doctor Strange, we'll talk about that whenever we get to that movie. But I think he did a great job. And a cool fun fact, because I was watching the movie, I said, holy crap, I didn't even notice this until watching the movie. Ash's car is the robber's car. While he was, while Spider-Man was jumping on top, it was Ash's car. Well, first of all, his car, if you look at any Sam Raimi movie, his car is in his films. That's the thing about it. He has to somewhere somehow put the car in it. So in Doctor Strange 2, the car is in the scene. In this movie, the car is in this scene, which is kind of hilarious. But it's in the scene that Spider-Man jumps on and try to stop the robber. Yeah, I gave it a 4.5. You gave it a 4. What's your total points?
You know, real quick too, you know what's funny about this movie to me? This one, and we're going to do this next year, so I could say this now without it being coming up. This one and the first X-Men movie fill a very specific hole for me, like in my movie, like my comic book love. And I have a lot of nostalgia for them, but most of my enjoyment of them is from nostalgia because I saw this in the theater when I was 15. Okay. So I was in high school. I was like, I loved it when I was younger. X-Men 1, I loved it when I was younger. But like I rewatched them now and I still like them. Don't get me wrong. But I still feel like at moments, like I remember sitting in the theater, packed theater, 15 years old, probably my friends from school. Like, so I do love the movie with that. And my score is a 21 out of 25. So it's a very high score anyway. I do love it. I don't think it's the best one, but I have a lot of nostalgia for it.
Yeah, look, I gave it a 23.5. I hope I scored it right, but I think it's 23.5. I think it's really good. I think it's a very solid origin. I could put this against a few other first starters, and it's not good at all. You just go, okay, I'd rather pick Spider-Man over this. Like, honestly, if you ask me,
Ghost Rider,
X-Men 1. I would pick this over X-Men 1 any day.
X-Men 1 is not as good as this movie. It's not as good as this movie. Like, I love it. Again, just for nostalgia.
Right.
But it's not as good. You're right. It's not even that accurate to the comics or anything.
It's so stupid.
They wear black leather. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah,
I still love it. I can't just watch it right now if I had to.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in ages, so I can't wait to see them. But again, it did a great job. I think Sony and Sam Raimi did a great job putting this movie to life. So with that said, Nate, what is coming up next?
Oh, we got some treats for you, my friends. We got some treats. So next episode, we are wrapping up our 2010s decade watch through. We're done with the decades after this next one. We're going to be doing a little bit of Edgar Wright's Baby Driver. And then next week, of course, another Sam Raimi Spider-Man movie. We're going to Spider-Man 2. So we'll be reviewing that one next week.
Yeah, so there you have it, guys. If you want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at NateFlixReviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called NateFlix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie, guys, head over to youtube.com/geeksandflix for the video version of the podcast, or go to our official website, www.geeksandflix.com, where you have the entire podcast at your disposal, from video to audio. You have merchandise for action movie guys or geeks and flicks. You can support us there. Also with that, again, www.geeksandflix.com, or join the Patreon and see the behind the scenes of your favorite episodes. Other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and your co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.